Joshua chapter 1, Messages for Lord's Days, over in Fayetteville in June, and only on the last Lord's Day did I give one message on the book of Joshua, and then I gave his farewell address. So what I'll do is, for the next Lord's Day evenings, tell you a little bit about the book of Joshua, and see if you know as much about Joshua as you thought you did. And I hope at least when we get through, you'll know more than you did. And we're so glad to have visitors tonight, more visitors than our regular ones here. So thank you for coming. All right. Joshua chapter 1, and let me read the first 11 verses. Now it came to pass, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, to you have I given it, as I spake unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your border. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt cause this people to inherit the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous to observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest have good success whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not affrighted, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the midst of the camp, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Now, let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we're so thankful for this book that you've given us, with which we can live. Let us speak of it as if it were actually a person, our God. Let us know that it is alive. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And just as thy Son, the Word, who came from heaven, spoke on earth, so now, Father, the written Word of God speaks to us on earth. We thank you for the preservation of it and all things that it contains. We are glad that you preserve the old as well as the new. We remember what your Son said. We are aware that some people would discard the old and only look at the new, but your Son said concerning those that had been made disciples to the kingdom of heaven, he's like a man that is an householder who brings out of his treasure things both new and old. We thank you for the New Testament. We thank you for the Old Testament as well. And we desire to hear thy voice from both of them. Let us know its fullness. Let us know its meaning. Let us know the need in our lives for every portion of it. So, from our study of this book, Our God, we pray that you shall bless us. We thank you for this day, our Father. It indeed was a day that was a holiday, but for us, a day when we could come together and remember your Son and study your Word and then have fellowship together. We thank you for every blessing that has been ours this day, both material and spiritual. And we would seek thee once again to help us this night. Prepare our hearts and open them that we may receive thy word and empower the lips of him who speaks. And our Father, we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Why it was so difficult to teach from this book of Joshua when I was requested to do so in the month of June is from the fact that there are no less than 7 different ways that the name Joshua occurs in the Old and New Testament. Isn't that a remarkable thing? Who could tell me the 7 ways that Joshua's name is given to us in the Old and New Testament? Well, that's the first thing that we don't know. But listen to them. If I can remember them, he is referred to as Joshua, 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 Hoshea, Oshea, Jeshua, and Jesus. And when I started looking at this book at first, I was trying to find out about Joshua, and I read about a man named Oshea, but that's Joshua, and then Hoshea, and that's Joshua, and Jehoshua, and that was Joshua, and Jehoshua, and Jeshua, and then Jesus. All of these variations are the same name as the book from which I read you tonight. What is so remarkable about Joshua is that the Joshua of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. And because of that, when you read the New Testament, you're liable to be reading Jesus, but it's talking about Joshua. But it's correct translation. And another thing that was so remarkable is this. That of all the hundreds of names of people in the Old Testament, there was only one that is of prominence, the one that we know, that bore the Savior's name, and this was Joshua. Because you know what Joshua means from the interpretation that's given to us in the New Testament. When the angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And the word Jesus and Joshua means the Lord saves, Jehovah saves. And that is his name. Why it's so important is that nobody knew. Of all the things that were kept secret, the actual name of Jesus, the name that was going to be given to the Messiah when he was born, was never disclosed. You'll find his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and you find his name is Emmanuel, but those are titular names, titles, explanatory names, but his name, his personal name, was Jesus. And our Savior kept that name. And if you ask in heaven, what is the name of him who is seated at God's right hand? They will tell you, Jesus Christ the Lord. Because on the road to Damascus, when the Apostle Paul, at that time Saul of Tarsus, asked, "Who is it that's talking to me from heaven? Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." So, the glory of Joshua is that he bore the name that our Savior has in the New Testament. And I shan't bring in all the types tonight, but there are typical personages in the Old Testament that present the Lord Jesus to us in a physical way as to what the Lord Jesus was going to do for us in a spiritual way in the New Testament. And Joshua of the Old Testament was doing for the nation of Israel what Jesus did for the nation of Israel in the New Testament. Listen, it says, he shall save his people from their sins. Now, Moses was the one who brought them out of the land of Egypt, but Joshua was the one who carried them into the promised land. And so to get a clear picture of the fullness of the person of Christ, you have to look at the various characters that God presents to us in his word. So remember those things about Joshua. Now, this is a question I ask them to tease them a little bit. If I ask you, who was Joshua's father, you could tell me, couldn't you? He's Joshua the son of Nun. That's easy. But what if it meant your life to tell me who his grandfather was? Could you tell me that? I venture to say you couldn't. I've never had anybody who knew who his grandfather was. And it was ever so difficult to find it out. And if you say, well, what difference does it make who his grandfather was? It makes this difference. If you do not know who Joshua's grandfather was, you are poorly informed about the person of Joshua. But just as in the book of Genesis, you find some strange things happening there when God was pronouncing his blessing through Moses upon the children of Israel, through Jacob, you'll find strange things that are said, and you ask, well, why did he depart from what we would have expected? And then there are answers found elsewhere. And so what I'll have you to do now is to find out who Joshua's grandfather was, and remember it, because if you know who his grandfather was, you can find Joshua throughout the entire Old Testament. Now, most people that I've asked, who was Joshua's father, the son of Nun? But once you find out who his grandfather is, you may trace his genealogy back to Adam. Isn't that a remarkable thing? So turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 7. 1 Chronicles 7. And here is one of the two places where we find what tribe he was from. If I ask you now, like Jesus is descended from the tribe of Judah, Moses of the tribe of Levi, what tribe was Joshua from? Well, this is going to tell us. Look in verse 20 of chapter 7 of 1 Chronicles. And the sons of Ephraim, Shuthelah and Bered his son. So notice, this is the tribe of Ephraim. Joseph had two children, Manasseh and Ephraim. So he is of the tribe of Ephraim, descended from Joseph. Now look down at verse 25. And Rephah was his son, and Resheph and Telah his son, and Tahan his son, and Laadan his son, Amihud his son, Elishama his son, Nun his son, and here is what might confuse you, it's Joshua his son. Now, who is Joshua's grandfather? It says Elishama his son, and therefore the son of Elishama was Nun, and the son of Nun was Joshua. So, Elishama was the son of Joshua. What this does is to help us greatly, because you would think that he was of no importance. But when you turn to Numbers chapter 3, you'll find that Elishama and Laadan are the ones that are mentioned as princes of the tribe of Ephraim. And it tells the position that they are to occupy as they march through the wilderness and toward their promised land. And for that reason, when you're looking at the book of Numbers, you will not find Joshua mentioned in the rank and in the position that he would occupy with the tribe of Ephraim. But you find out that his grandfather and the descendants of Ephraim, they were princes of the tribe of Ephraim, chief men and princes of the tribe of Ephraim. And therefore, at the very front of the tribe of Ephraim, you would have Joshua marching with his father, Nun, and his grandfather, Elishama. So that is a great and important step when we learn about Joshua. There are some people that come from nowhere. When you are talking about Gideon, and when you are talking about Peter and John, ignorant and unlearned fishermen, that's one thing. But when you're talking about certain individuals of the tribes of Israel, some of them are princes and chiefs of the tribes of Israel. Now, how they received this position, I'm not able to tell you for this reason. When they left Egypt, they were all slaves. Slaves until the day that Pharaoh ran them out of Egypt, slaves to that very day. So at that time, they were servants for another nation. And I suppose that even among slaves, you have certain families, and in families, you have people of importance. So whatever that hierarchy was in the land of Egypt, if they had it there, it was carried over, and Joshua and his father Nun and Elishama and Laadan, all of these were princes of the tribe of Ephraim. So some night I may tell you a little bit about his position. You can find exactly where he was when the tabernacle rested. You'll find that certain tribes were on the east and on the south and on the west and on the north, and you can find out exactly where Joshua was. And when they started marching, it tells which tribe is to go first and which tribe is to follow. And then you have all of that explained to us that you would never know unless you understood that Elishama was the grandfather of Joshua. Now, one other thing. This is what struck me as so remarkable. The first occurrence and mention of Joshua is in the book of Exodus. And the first time he's mentioned, it's just Joshua. So here he is. We know absolutely nothing about him. But Moses said to Joshua, I want you to form an army and I want you to fight against the enemies of Israel. Now, think of the ability of this man. Perhaps because Moses was a prophet of God, he was able to look into this man and see what he was. Or else, perhaps he had known him. He had a reputation in Egypt, but God tells us nothing about that at all. The only thing it tells us is that Joshua was called to form an army and to lead that army and to fight against the enemies of Israel. That is a remarkable thing. So he already is a warrior, and he has that position and that qualification when he's presented to us as the one who is going to take Moses' place. But there is another thing, and this is so important. Let's look at the scripture in Exodus. Turn to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus 24. I want to bring two things to your attention. Verse 12. If I ask you, who went up Mount Sinai to receive the law of God, you'll say, Moses did. Well, let's look at verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee the tables of stone and the law and the commandment which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and Joshua his minister. And Moses went up into the mount of God, and he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you, and so forth and so on. So we discover that Joshua was the man that accompanied Moses when he went up Mount Sinai to receive the commandments of God. The nearness of this man, Joshua, to Moses, the servant of God. Now, I want you to see another thing in Joshua. Turn back to Joshua. I'll read you another portion, perhaps later, in Exodus. But look in chapter 1, verse 1. Now, it came to pass, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant. What a contrast. Look, it's Moses, the servant of the Lord, and it is Joshua, Moses' minister. So you have two people that are inferior. But one of them is Moses, who is inferior to God, and yet being called a servant of God is the greatest honor. It's the way that the Apostle Paul presents himself in so many of his epistles. Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the word slave. Paul, a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you have the word slave and you put it in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, you forget the term slave and you think about the exalted nature of the one whom this slave serves. And so when it says Moses, the servant of God, you say, the servant of God. But then you have Joshua, the minister of Moses. What a contrast. And this is the first way he's introduced. Now, if I've counted it correctly, here is a remarkable thing. That Moses, 18 times, is spoken of as the servant of the Lord. Joshua, having lived 110 years, only just before he dies, is spoken of as the servant of the Lord. One time. Joshua, one time called the servant of the Lord, and only that at the end of his life. And Moses called the servant of the Lord 18 times. And most of the time, Joshua was known as the minister, as the one who went along and assisted Moses in the various things that he did. Now, I want you to see another scripture in Exodus. Turn to chapter 32. And look at verse 17. I told you that Moses took Joshua with him when he went up into the mount. And now, listen to this scripture. And Moses turned and went down from the mount with the two tables of the testimony in his hand, tables that were written on both sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Please note, Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. And the people down in the valley said, as for this Moses, we don't know what happened to him. What is so remarkable is that Joshua went into the mount with Moses as close as he could, but then Moses by himself went nearer to God and received the tables of stone. But I read to you in the first instance that Moses said, we shall go up into the mount and we shall come down and be with you again. What happened was that Joshua, for 40 days and 40 nights, waited alone in the mountain for his master, Moses. Isn't that a remarkable thing? Do you remember what the people in the valley did when Moses delayed coming down. They said, as for this Moses, we don't know what's happened to him. Up, make us gods. And yet, Joshua was faithful and patient in waiting for the man whose minister he was to come down and meet him. And then, when he met him, they both came down. Now, I want you to see another scripture. Look in Exodus chapter 33. And this is a revelation because most people are not familiar with this fact about Joshua. Look at verse 7, 33:7. I'm giving you this background because when we read in the book of Joshua at the beginning, who is going to take the children of Israel into the promised land, we're going to find out how qualified he was. Verse 7. Now Moses used to take the tent and to pitch it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone that sought the Lord went out unto the tent of meeting, which was without the camp. Now this is not the tabernacle, but this is a tent that Moses had for this specific purpose. Verse 8. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tent, that all the people rose up and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses, until he was gone into the tent. And it came to pass, when Moses entered into the tent, the pillar of the cloud descended and stood at the door of the tent. And the Lord spake with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud stand at the door of the tent. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man at his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his minister Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tent. Now, did you realize that Joshua was in this tent of worship, the very tent that Moses was in when God spoke to him? So think of his nearness to God now. When the Ten Commandments were given, he went as far as he could and as near as he could with Moses to God, but Moses was alone. And even though Moses is the one who is the special one in this tent, it says that after Moses left the tent, Joshua remained in the tent. What is so important at this place is that Joshua was not only a warrior, but he was a worshiper of God. We don't think of that often. But he is the one who, when the tent was departed from by Moses, he remained in that tent. So now, let's turn back to Joshua. And now that we know this much about him, we don't come upon this man, Joshua, the son of Nun, as a stranger, but we have his background, and there's much more that I could tell you. I'm not going to, but at least you know this much about him, that he is qualified to lead the children of Israel. Why? Because he is a tactical general that knows how to form an army and go out and fight battles. So he had that experience. I read that to you from the book of Exodus. Also, he is familiar with the law of God and the ways of God and the worship of God. So he is spiritually qualified as well. There are some, and you will find them like this, that were mighty warriors, but when it came to spiritual qualifications, they completely failed. But Joshua was one who was both a military man and also a religious man, a leader of worship. And so this is why it is so important. Moses, he is the minister of God. He is God's servant, but he is not a warrior. The remarkable thing is that God has different things for different ones to do. And this is what Joshua was told the first time that he was to fight a battle. He said, now, when you go and fight these enemies of the children of Israel, he said, I am, He said, I am going to the top of the mountain, and I'm going to lift up my arms, and I'm going to pray for you. So understand this, that some, like Moses, are pictured as an intercessor, whereas Joshua was the one that was doing the fighting down in the valley. But in this instance, it is Joshua who knows about prayer and worship and fellowship with God, and now he is both the tactical general that's going to win the battle, and at the same time, he is one that is spiritually equipped because he's familiar with this law of the Word of God that is so important to the nation of Israel. Now, here is what devolved upon him. Think, and I'm trying to think of it at the same time. I'm trying to think as a young man, think of me as being a follower of the most important preacher in the world. And then, after that preacher dies, the Lord says, you are to take over and finish the work that he began. It would be overwhelming. And yet, Joshua had been trained for 40 years, and what God tells him is that very thing. He says, Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, but you are going to take them into the promised land. Now, there are some of us who, when God speaks to us, turn from the responsibilities he would place upon us. Moses did. Do you remember when God said to Moses, I want you to go and speak to the children of Israel? And Moses said, Lord, I can't do that. I'm not an eloquent man, neither before nor since you called me. I can't do that. And so the Lord said, all right, I know your brother Aaron is able to speak. I will let him be a spokesman for you. But every time that Joshua is called upon to fulfill a task, he always fulfills that task, and there is never any argument, there is never any excuse that he gives to get out of a responsibility laid upon him. Now, this is something that is incomprehensible. I'm here in Goldsboro, and I'm trying to help a handful, as the Bible says, a few sheep in the wilderness, a little flock, to do what help I can. If the Lord suddenly said to me, you have to conduct the affairs of hundreds of thousands of the people of God, that would be the end of me. I would have a mental breakdown. But in the case of Joshua, this responsibility was placed upon him, and also this thought, the thought that after a man of Moses' stature that is called 18 times the servant of the Lord, and I who replaced him am called Joshua, the minister of Moses, I haven't been anything but the one that helped Moses in whatever requirements he had of me. I'm just a minister. And now you are taken and put in the position of Moses to fulfill his position. All right. This is what is so beautiful. Look now at verse 5. This is God speaking to Joshua. I may tell you that before, God spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to Joshua. But now, look at verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I shall be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Look at verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not affrighted, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now, twice the Lord tells him, I know who you are, I know your strengths, and I know your weaknesses, but as I was with Moses, I shall be with you. If I had the promise from God directly from his lips, perhaps I would try anyway. And this is the great encouragement to us today. You'll find that this scripture, this scripture in verse 5, is quoted in part in Hebrews 13. It says this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will be with you. I will care for you. And the things that were spoken concerning Moses at first are now spoken concerning Joshua and the responsibility that he had to undertake. And what is so beautiful is this, that just as Joshua could say, God was with Moses, he's going to be with me. So you and I can say, God was with Moses, and God was with Joshua. And as God was with Moses, and as God was with Joshua, so God shall be with me. This is what the Lord does with the Old Testament. He shows us that there were physical battles to fight in the Old Testament, and God said, I will be with you to fight those physical battles. And there are spiritual battles that we fight in the New Testament, and God says, I will be with you to fight those spiritual battles. And at the same time, just as God had to feed them with manna from heaven, so God has to feed us and to care for us, and we can say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. And for this reason, when I look at the Old Testament, I'm not looking at this as ancient history, telling what God did in the past, but it has no relevancy to me today. But I'm looking at what God did in the past for Moses and for Joshua. And the same promises made to Moses were made to Joshua. And then the promise that was made to Joshua is made to those in the epistle to the Hebrews. And we take that promise and we claim it for ourselves today. So, when you read the Word of God and you see the obstacles and the enemies confronted by these of old and how God delivered them through His faithfulness, then you look at the obstacles that confront you today and say, the same God that was with them is with me, and He shall deliver me as well. Now, this is just a little bit introducing the book of Joshua. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You that You have ways to accomplish Your work. Let us know that we have seen great statesmen in our land die. Some of us are old enough to remember when our president was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and for so many, many years he was our president, and suddenly he died. And then there was one Harry Truman that was to take over, and the nation felt devastated and felt as if it were powerless to go on with such leadership. And yet, we are here today, and so our Father, in like manner, we are so thankful that though You've had great men of old, and they passed away, still You say in the book of Daniel that You lift up the basest of men and Your will is carried out. So our God, we pray for those in authority. Work out Your will in their lives and work out Your will for our nation and bless us. And let us consider all the promises of God to them of old and claim them for ourselves. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.